It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun and the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, Fairbanks, how are you? This is Craig Compo with the Compo Outdoor Show. We do it every Saturday at 12:30. And we are we're always talking about stuff to do with the outdoors. That's kind of what our family's all about, getting outdoors. We even had some hats made that say, have our logo on them, and it says, providing social distancing in Alaska for over 77 years. So anyway, that's kind of what we do. We love the outdoors. We're all about getting outdoors, whether it be snow machine, four-wheeler, boat. We talk about fishing, hunting, access, dabble in politics a little bit, but I save most of that for our Laundry House Gang meetings. I'm a member of the Laundry House Gang, which is an active group that tries to keep Alaska Alaskan. A lot of you listeners hear us on there. It's Mike Tinker and Wayne Heimer, Al Brett, myself primarily, and Karen Gordon occasionally. Anyway, it's Saturday. We're moving into a great time of year, the spring riding season for ski-doo and snow machines. I want to talk a little bit about some history on the snow machine from a Bombardier, or as most of us call it, Bombardier perspective. Talk about that a little bit later, but I did want to go over, because we're getting into really close to the spring order period for Ski-Doo. With the hangover from COVID, we still have a few delays. We just this week are getting our last of the sleds in, and some will have a few cancellations, which I'm mentioning because it's been about impossible to buy a sled this year if you didn't spring order one, or the year before. Last couple, 3 years have been total sellout early on. So a lot of people come in and say, hey, get me on the list. Call me if you get one of this type or another. And so we are going to get a few here in the next few days, week. So you might want to call over to Compos and check, or stop by, talk to Kyle, see Ian's still out of town. He gets back pretty soon. Our sales guys, really good guys, those sales guys, Kyle and Ian. They're really, really professional and helpful. And we get a lot of really positive feedback on those guys. Anyway, we do have a couple of machines I've mentioned a little bit before. We're getting down to the bottom of the barrel on them. But, the Grand Touring 600 Ace, which Ace is the four-stroke engine that's so popular in Alaska because of its fuel economy and lack of noise and long-term reliability. There was a government contract for a handful of those that fell through. And so we grabbed them. And we got most of them in, and we've got a few more this week that are showing up, and there's some without names on them. So if you're looking for kind of a machine that's got the optimal seating positions for two, just super comfortable on the trail, they've got what they call the silent drive track, the intelligent throttle control system, which is a kind of a drive-by-wire throttle lever that is really nice. You can literally spin it 180 degrees and drive it with your fingers on the throttle lever if you've ever had a thumb injury or a small hands or something. So it's really easy to drive. Anyway, it's kind of the ultimate two-seater. It's super comfortable and plush, reasonably priced, mid-12s, and it's got all the features: the high windshield, rearview mirror, electric start, reverse, hot grips, thumb warmer, heated helmet visor jack. It's got the deluxe passenger seat with backrest, really nice backrest. And it's got where the usually your spouse hangs on the back, has got heated grips with a high and low range. So even and wind guards for your hands. So it's just a tricked out, super plush trail sled. We're going to have a demo, and we're going to have a big contest. I'll talk about it a little bit later. But it's basically going to be where you come down and take a demo ride, whether you're buying one of these that's still available, or if you're going to be ordering one. We're going to give one person a $1,000 compo cash for spending just for riding it if you wind up buying it. So that's a really good incentive. We're also going to have a little poker game where if you take a demo ride, even if you're not riding, you can try and to win $1,000. So anyway, it's going to be kind of fun. We just, the whole idea here really is to get butts in seats. If you get on this machine, if you haven't been on a modern snow machine, even in the last 4 or 5 years, if you haven't been on a new four stroke or this new suspension or some of these features, it's really hard to describe sitting in a radio studio. It's unbelievably comfortable. It's quiet. You can talk to the person with helmets on. You can talk to the person behind you at the level that I'm speaking right now. You literally can't. What they've done is the engines are so quiet that once they drop those engines in these machines, you heard other things. You heard the transmission. You heard what the track, whatever. So over the years, they've chased the noise by, they made a much quieter transmission. So you don't have that gear wind when you're going down the trail. Then the loudest part of the machine was just the rubber track going around the idler wheels. So they put a softer rubber compound under the idler wheels, and they've changed some stuff to minimize harmonics and vibration there. And it's just, it's crazy. You can watch the machine coming down the trail, you know, just down in the bike path in front of our shop. You can literally see it before you hear it. It's crazy. It's really pleasant. You know, and when you're out in the woods, you'll see more animals. There's no smoke and smell. You know, that engine's rated at 29 miles to the gallon, which is, you know, at least a couple hundred miles on a tank of gas. Easy financing at like $200 a month, and you're on just a state-of-the-art sled. So anyway, keep that in mind. One story I really like to tell is we had a customer that bought one of these machines, and they took it to Nenana. They bought a new four-stroke. It was a wide track when they first came out. And he wanted to break it. And he says, hey, I think I'll just go down to Nenana for, you know, get a burger and just, you know, 20 to 40 miles an hour. Is that good break in? We said, yeah, it's perfect. You know, just no extended wide open throttle for the first, you know, couple hundred miles. And you know, just change your throttle once in a while. So, you know, normal trail riding. So he came in Monday and he was at our front sidewalk, and when I opened the door, and he says, I got to tell you something. I said, uh-oh, you have a problem with the sled? He goes, no, I love it. I absolutely love it. He said, but I want to tell you how quiet these sleds are. He said, I'm driving in Nenana about halfway down there, and all of a sudden I hear a noise that sounds like a flat spot in the track. He said, it was like every revolution, and he described it. He goes like, it went like, whoa, 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 whoa. And so I got off the machine to inspect the track, and as I got off the machine, I still heard it. And I look up, and about 1,000 feet in the air is a helicopter going over. So he heard this helicopter through his helmet and over the sound of the machine, and it blew him away. He goes, I just can't think of a better example to tell people about how stupid quiet these things are. So anyway, I use that example once in a while. And that engine, by the way, we've got I know of one customer that's got over 40,000 miles on his machine out in the bush without going into the engine. You know, he's replaced skis and skags and maybe a component or two. But I got another guy, Roger Huntington, who runs a Bible camp out between Ruby and Tanana, and he's got a machine that the engine just finally went down on him right at 30,000 miles. So think about that. That's 30,000 miles. You know, our average customer puts less than 1,000 miles a year on the machine. So, you know, that's 30 years without an engine issue. It's just crazy. They're very, very reliable, and that's why they just dominate the market right now. So if you're looking for a machine, unless you're a high marker, somebody that just needs brute top-end horsepower and, you know, that kind of stuff, it's really hard to beat those four strokes. And I was never a four stroke guy. I was always the two stroke guy, but I've been converted for what I do. I do a lot of freight hauling up to our cabin on the river, and I use the 900 four stroke. The Grand Tourings, we've got our 600s, which is still plenty of horsepower. The Scandic is the other one. We have just two, I think, Scandic wide track LEs, and those have the 600 E-Tech, and that's the high power two stroke. Been a really popular machine over the last few years. Got a massive footprint. It's 154 by 16 inch track. Great in deep snow. I mean, you can stop and go in any kind of snow conditions. It doesn't spin and trench like a lot of machines. It just starts rolling and it pops out of the deep snow. Really, the only way you get these things stuck is if you get them tipped on their side anymore, because you can be up to your windshield in snow and that thing will just get up and go. It's It's not at all like what you're used to. It just effortlessly floats through, you know, just pillows of untouched snow, even with cargo behind you. So pretty amazing. And it's got a high and low range transmission. The mileage is really good on those E-Techs because they're direct injected. There's no carburetors. So it's the most efficient two-stroke on the market. About 125 horsepower. And the one advantage there, you super cold starting. It'll start down at 35, 40 below. And then you can also have a rope pull option on there. They come with electric start. So there's no doubt you're going to get it started regardless of temperature. And those things will start on one or two pulls maximum. It's not like the old days where you pull and pull and pull. So, you know, they say you should get at least 3,000 miles on your spark plugs on those machines. On the four strokes, they recommend you change them at 6,500 miles. And I know guys that have gone over 13,000 and never changed them. So just a whole new ball game as far as engine life and ease of operation. And then finally, we got one Expedition Extreme, Ski-Doo Expedition Extreme. Now, that's a crossover sled. It's kind of like a cross between a summit and a wide track. It's a nimble wide track, and it's got the 850 engine in it, which is our most powerful engine. It's got the new transmission, which is about 50% quieter than the old shift-on-the-fly tranny, and and the track is 33% quieter. It was quite a challenge for the factory to reach those levels, those noise levels. They had done some other testing and everything, but I know the engineers have told me with the track, they worked with their advanced technology center at the University of Sherbrooke, which is in Eastern Canada there, Quebec. And they were testing a lot of concepts for the Grand Touring. And so, because that's the machine used on the trail and they want them in these big, you know, Yellowstone areas to be just whisper quiet. But they just passed that technology onto the wide tracks, which we sell so many of. So it's really nice. You got a work machine that's whisper quiet. So it's anyway, pretty cool to see what they've done, you know, with some of this technology. And we're at a point now where we can offer this technology on a lot of our utility sleds. At Compos, we sell more utility sleds than anything. The Scandic LE is our number one seller. That's the 20-inch. Of course, they're the only ones that make a 24-inch wide super long track, which is called the SWT, super wide track. And that is an animal. It's like a tow truck on the snow. Just massive footprint. Probably more than most people need. The reason the 20-inch sells better is it's a little more nimble, side-hilling and throwing it around. And then you can get those, typically can get those machines in either the Expedition or the Scandic, and the main difference there is that the Expedition has got the more plush front end and a fancier rear seat. Other than that, if you're talking the same engine, whether it's the 600 E-Tech or the 900 Ace, they are virtually identical. The same articulating rear suspension, so you can back up in the snow without getting stuck. The same windshield, basically the same everything except the front end. The Scandic has the Pogo front end, which is more durable for busting through brush and up and over tussocks and stuff and less hanging out there. But the Expedition is more popular just because it's got just the Grand Touring-like ride, just super plush ride, sit down and ride all day. So anyway, that's kind of the update on what we've got available as of today. You want to check, though, you can call us. We're open today from 10 to 4. We're always open 10 to 4 on Saturdays. We're open on Mondays, too. I think we're the only snow machine shop or four-wheeler shop in town that's open on Mondays. That's our busiest day. So you can stop and check us out. We're on Boat Street across from West Fred Meyer's, basically, if you know where that is. The Fred Meyer's on the west side of town. There's a stoplight there, and instead of turning left to go into Freddy's, you go right if you're heading west. You go right, and that's Sportsman's Way, and then you hook left on Boat Street down past the coffee shop. Sunrise Coffee Shop. So anyway, that's where we be at. So anyway, we're going to go to commercial. I want to talk a little bit about the history of Bombardier and how that all got started. It's kind of interesting. I'll do the short version. The long version, there's videos and all kinds of stuff. They got a neat museum back there I've been to. But we're just going to do the short version. It's pretty interesting stuff. So come on back and join us after these commercial messages.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compo's. Bob Compo Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compo's passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race. And their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo, on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, Fairbanks. This is Craig with the Compo Outdoor Show, and we spent the first part of the show just talking about the skidoos that we have available, not many, but a few. And then coming up here on the really soon, Kyle and I are going back to Houston, of all places, where they're going to have the big Skidoo show. They move it around the country from year to year. But they will have all the new machines there, all the new technology, and it's a better part of a week we're back there. And then, of course, right when we get back from that, which will be on the 24th of February, put that in your phone, is that's when you can start ordering this, they're doing the spring order, the $500 deposit. And I've been telling people, we're not hustlers at our place. We don't push. Say, you got to get it in right now. But I'm telling you, just based on history, and you can talk to any of your friends or neighbors that have tried to find a sled. If you don't order during the February, March spring order period, you're not going to get your sled next year. You're not going to get a sled next year. So if you're even at all interested, just get a deposit in. There's no doubt you're going to get the sled. You can even put a deposit down before we know what the sleds are. You can come in at those, we make totally refundable. If you know, they announce to come out and you don't see anything you like, we'll completely refund you. But at least the earlier you get on the list, the earlier the machine will ship. And typically the last couple of years, as we go into the program about halfway through it or even sooner, they go tell the dealers, okay, you can't order any more machines with ACE engines. We're at full capacity for the year. That's how fast things sell now. It's been just a neat dynamic to watch. We've never seen anything like it, and we're pretty sure we're going to have at least one more year of that before it maybe normalizes, if there's such a word anymore. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the history of Ski-Doo and the original inventor of the snow machine, J. Armand Bombardier, who I knew his grandson, I still know really well, Pierre Beaudoin, who was the CEO for the snowmobile division for many years. Became really good friends with him. And his grandfather on his mother's side was Joseph Armand Bombardier. Bombardier is the last name, often pronounced Bombardier. But the guy was born in like 1907 in Valcourt, Quebec, which is in, Valcourt, Canada, it's east of Quebec. And it's a little tiny town. It's just amazing. I've been in there several times. They got a cool museum. If you ever get over there, even if you're in New York and you got your passport, it's not a long drive, or Vermont, it's right there. But probably the most amazing museum I've ever been in, and I'm including Fountainhead, which I really think is cool. But it's just all snow machines. They must have every snow machine they ever built there. They've got videos and some of the original tools that Joseph had when he was young. He started about the age of 13. He manufactured his first invention. It was like a little mini locomotive. I've seen pictures of it, just a little mini operating locomotive at the age of 13. Created his first snow machine at 15. And this was an engine, prop-driven engine, like a little airboat that sat up on a skid on rails. You've probably seen pictures of it. It's pretty neat. But anyway, it's one of these machines that had a, you know, pushed by air and went on ice more than snow, but it was kind of the first, his first attempt at it. And then when he was 17, he got his father's permission to quit college and leave work in Montreal, where he went to Montreal where he took night school courses in mechanics and electrical engineering. I think his dad knew how passionate he was about inventing, and he saw a shortcut to success for his son. His son was really into it. Maybe the old man didn't want to foot the bill. I don't know what it was, but in 1926, he was 19, and he started a garage. They built a garage with the help of his family. They built a nice shop there in Valcourt. Then he got married in 1929, so it would have been in his early 20s. And that's when the real research started, when he got married. And maybe we joke about it. Maybe it's because he was wanting to get out of the house, you know, maybe get away from the wife. I don't know what it was, but he really started working late at the shop and getting a lot of neat stuff built. You know, his challenge was to design a vehicle that could travel on the snow with a suspension that's adapted to the consistency of snow. And that's really what he was trying to do. You know, he worked relentlessly at night on his projects. I've seen there's images. It looks like a little bullet car on leaf springs with, the rear fan-mounted engine. But what really set him apart when he came out in, his son died in 1934 of, I think it was peritonitis. It's a problem in the abdomen, some sort of a deal. Of course, they didn't have antibiotics and stuff for that. But the biggest thing is they couldn't get him to a hospital because of the snow. And so he wound up dying of this in 1934. And so he kind of doubled down on it after. His mission was to make something that would get through the snow for medical purposes and just access and work for companies and everything else. So the driven track was his real claim to fame. He designed a sprocket that turned the track, and that really was what got Joseph Bombardier on the map. And then he started. Once he had that done, he built the B7, which is that all enclosed cab. You've seen him before with skis in the front and tracks in the back. And he decided to mass produce it. And they called it a B7 because it was B for Bombardier and then 7 for the number of passengers. It was a B7. And so he built those in the mid-30s. And they would go through snow anywhere. They used them for ambulances. They used them for mail, you know, to get to these rural communities that were off the highway on down these roads. They could operate, you know, they could drive the cars on them in the summer, but in the winter they were just snow-covered roads and paths. And so he marketed that in the area, and then it really took off. By 1940, he had it all dialed in, and they were building them for everything from ambulances to ice cream trucks. And so then they came up with a B12, which was a longer version that would hold 12 people. And that was kind of the next step. And they kind of fine-tuned that over the years, and we're getting close to the wartime area. And so they built, by the start of World War II, they expanded the industry to the Canadian forces, and they were building things like the Khaki and the Mark I and the Mark III and these things that would go about anywhere. And they were just really, really busy. And then they started the actual company. It was called El Auto Nige Bombardier Limited or something like that. So Bombardier Limited, that was the company he knew. You know, he knew he had to kind of up his game because he was getting major contracts and everything else. And so there was a real boom for civilian vehicles after 1946. So that increased his business even more. And then between 1942 and 51, they built 2,817 of these B-12s. So they were rolling by then. That's a big number for a small company in a little town in eastern Quebec. Their sales were 2.3 million in the 47-48, which was 10 times more than they were around the start of the war, the 42-43 range. So anyway, things were happening. But just like when his son died, he turned that into a challenge, and he had another challenge coming up because in 48-49 in Quebec, the government adopted a policy that demanded that all the rural routes be cleared. And it sounds great if you're driving, if you got a house on a rural road, but it was a major blow to the snow machine market. And in that 1 year, the sales fell by $1 million because now, you know, they plowed these roads and maintained them, and you didn't need this vehicle. So it was a real disaster for the company, but that only encouraged him to kind of change his focus, which he was really good at. He started developing the snow machine, the snowmobile, you know, in the late 50s. You know, just when he spent all of his savings for his research and was mocked as for his initial failures, he comes out with the snow machine, the Ski-Doo, in the late 50s. And of course, things went crazy from there. You know, 1973, they've still never built more machines than they did then. But he started with the old wooden ski, Olympic or chalet, I think they called it back then. It was the real early mustard bucket, as we call it, a big yellow nose machine with skis and a front-mounted engine. They had Sachs engines and Kohler and whatever until they bought Rotax in 1974. And that's an Austrian company that they own today that is really responsible for some crazy technology and advancements over the years. He got into the snow machines, and, you know, we talked last week about from when I was a kid in the 60s, early 60s, and growing up and the changes in. I won't go through all that again. But basically, this guy, he got bored. When he really got the snow machine industry dialed in, he got bored and moved on to the next thing. And he had, you know, they started to, they airplanes and bullet trains and everything else that they've come up with over the years, the biggest manufacturer of rail cars in the world. But I know that he got into hydroaxes. That was his, he was getting into high-tech hydroax type brush clearing equipment. And he just kind of left the snow machine industry because he always wanted to challenge himself, and there was nothing out there that would just bite trees off at the base like they do now. And so he was instrumental in that. And then he wound up getting, I think, brain cancer and died, unfortunately. But just an amazing man. I really have a lot of respect for him, having been through the museum they have there, and shows how he just challenged himself all the time. And we need more of that in this world, you know, anymore. It's just amazing. You get a kid that's 13 or 15 years old that has this vision, and he put tracks on his dad's Model T and got in bad trouble for that. How you sneak tracks on your dad's Model T is just a whole nother story. But if you ever get a chance, do some research. There's a video. I'm going to try and find it. We used to play at the shop. There was a history of the Bombardier, and it's just really interesting to me. I love anything to do with innovators and technology and business. Anyway, it's fun stuff. You know, they've come a long way in the years since the late 50s, and, of course, all the way back to the 30s, 20s and 30s when he was starting in Canada. And it's, the industry's been just come leaps and bounds. So anyway, fun stuff, history of the snow machine and the advancements over the years. Again, we got a lot of that history in our family, not quite that far back, but we do go back to 1945. I think we're the second oldest family run business in Fairbanks. I might be wrong, but I know Wilbur Brothers have us beat. Good going, Shorty. I'm never going to catch you, but we're going to keep trying. Okay. So anyway, that's it for this week. This is the Compo Outdoor Show. Meet us back here next Saturday or stop by Compo's at 4122 Boat Street. We're open 9 to 6 Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 on Saturday. Come on out and see us. Have a cup of coffee and let's BS a little bit. See you then.
You have been listening to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Compos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.